This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back. This is the Daily Digest on The Bigger Picture. I'm Juliet Jacobs, joined today by Sharmila Gunnison and Sumitra Selvaraj. Earlier, we spoke about helicopter parenting, especially with regard to adult children. But now in our second story, another child-centric story, of course.
So earlier today, I had the opportunity to interview Dr. Daniel Legouf, who is a pediatric neuropsychologist and a pioneer in developing play therapy for children with autism. So in the process of researching for that interview, I came across a very recent article about Otcraft, which is an online community built around a customized version of the popular a video game, Minecraft. Have either of you played Minecraft?
Nope.
No.
Only seen my nephews do it. That's about it.
My brother did when he was younger. But I do know that it's an example of what's called a sandbox video game.
Yeah.
So meaning the players are free to build and destroy their world within the game. And there's no real specific objective other than to, I guess, have fun. And it is wildly popular, of course. And in fact, it's the single best-selling video game of all time.
Yeah. So what the Otcraft community does is it uses Minecraft to create a safe online playground for children with autism to help them unleash their imagination.
Yeah, I think it's quite common to hear that children with autism don't play like typical children, right? And it's not that they don't enjoy playing. It's just that children with autism approach the idea of play in a rather different manner.
Yes, and because I had the good fortune to be able to speak to Dr. Daniel Legouf earlier, I snuck in the opportunity to ask him a few questions about this, actually. In particular, I wanted to know how children with autism play.
I think that's kind of a tautological question in a way, because I think autism is defined by developmental issues affecting play. So it's not why do autistic children play, but what is about autistic children's play that makes them autistic? Because if you think about it, the diagnostic criteria for an autistic disorder basically are defined by having evidence of difficulties with communication, socialization. And then there's this category of what we call repetitive or idiosyncratic behaviors and difficulties with change. But I think that that really is a reflection of, again, this absence of playfulness, this willingness to do repetitive things and insistence on sameness that is uncharacteristic of most children. It's sort of like the absence of boredom, if you will, and the lack of drive to be innovative or creative. So there's this difficulty with typical creativity that involves innovation. It's a kind of a difficult concept. I mean, intuitively, most people get it, that if you don't get bored, you do the same things over and over again. And that's not a typical human characteristic.
No.
That's not what most children do. They get bored very easily. And, you know, so they want to go up, even if they're doing something relatively boring, like if you make your kid do Sudoku, they certainly want to graduate up to the next level. They want to show some mastery. Some people aren't interested in playing chess. It seems like a very boring thing to some people. Other people, chess is incredibly interesting. But they understand the game differently. And what they are most excited about is innovation. So autistic kids might make very bad chess players. Unless they're enacting, roles or sequences of moves that they've memorized, right? So they can play a game like a mathematician would play it or as a computer would play it.
Are there particular kinds of play or play activities that autistic children are drawn towards?
Yes, but they're repetitive. A typical parent would see a child who likes to, for instance, collect things, or they might do a kind of a role play. But they do the role play in a scripted way. It has to be exactly the same way each time. They like certain kinds of computer games, but they'll play the same sequence over and over and over without needing to go up to another level or to be creative about how they're solving problems. They'll solve the same problems over and over again. And it doesn't seem to bother them. There's no creativity. There's no innovation. There's no growth in the process. And I think that's a characteristic of autistic pathology, that there's this repetitive nature to it that lacks innovation and growth. And that's pretty hard to intervene with.
So that was Dr. Daniel Legouf, a pediatric neuropsychologist who is interested in how children with autism can make gains in their social development through play. And in a shameless forward sell, please do keep an ear out for my full interview with Dr. Dan, which will be out in a couple of weeks on our Live and Learn segment, which is at 3 p.m. on Wednesdays and Fridays.
All right. So, but with ArtCraft, players who have autism can use the accessible interface of Minecraft to help support their social play without some of the barriers that can make offline play, yeah, you know, difficult for them. So Minecraft as a game simplifies things because its characters are fairly crude representations of people. Mm. They don't have facial expressions or much in the way of body language. Mm. And, you know, these are the key challenges that children with autism struggle with in their daily interactions.
Mm. And people with autism also often need to adjust their sensory intake, right, to suit their needs. Mm. So in the game, the volume and brightness can easily be adjusted. Players can also vary their sensory intake by moving their characters around. Mm. And ArtCraft itself has also built virtual sensory rooms within Minecraft that offer a variety of sensory inputs and moods, ranging from a bright multicolored room with spider webs for texture to a serene garden to rooms where the door shuts for darkness, a cozy library. How fascinating.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, it is. But, you know, perhaps what's most impressive is the fact that Minecraft players need to be able to work together to form teams in order to make the game more enjoyable, right? So what you then see through ArtCraft is that some children with autism who are engaged in the game voluntarily take up leadership roles to lead their friends to finish large castles and create whole villages together. This is quite literally a game changer for children who usually have difficulty communicating, making friends, or even learning in a classroom environment.
Mm. You know, I can see how it could be helpful, but it, you know, is using an online game really the prescribed course of action to help a child with autism? Because even for typical children, the goal, of course, is to be able to reduce screen time and to pry those tablets and devices, you know, out of their little hands. But if the goal is to help children with autism build and understand social cues, isn't that, I don't know, something that needs to be done in a sort of face-to-face interaction?
Absolutely. Exactly why Dr. Dan isn't such a big fan of the idea. In my conversation with him, he pointed out exactly what you just mentioned, Juliet.
Well, electronic media, by their very nature, takes the focus away from direct interaction face-to-face. And I think there's a lot of social interaction that people underestimate that is that requires gesture and facial expression. And people who are socially intact, because we pick these things up naturally, and women do it especially well, and they practice them as kids and they get good at them, we don't really even notice, and we're not very good at understanding how skilled and nuanced social communication is. I notice it a lot, and I've often comment about not liking to watch actors and actresses who've had Botox treatment in their face. I find there's something wrong.
Unnatural.
Yeah. Mm. It's a subtle thing. But how do you know when someone's had Botox to their face? There's certain muscle groups that aren't working right, you know? And so as someone who studies social communication, I can tell right away very easily when someone's had something done to their face, whether it was on purpose, you know, cosmetically, or they may have some damage, like a Bell's palsy, or they had a burn or something that's affecting their ability to express themselves. But with autistic individuals, I pick them out in the waiting room quite easily because of their lack of communication using facial expressions and gestures. Mm. And it's an innovative thing for people to play at, to get creative and good. And so people who are, charming are often either naturally or they learn over time to use their facial expressions in ways that are convincing.
So that was pediatric neuropsychologist Dr. Dan. Dr. Daniel Lagouf, sharing his insights into why using a video game to help children with autism may not necessarily be the best idea.
Mm. There is also the issue of safety. While I understand that Artcraft puts measures into place to really protect their players, it still didn't stop an online predator from slipping through that safety net and luring a player away onto a private chat session. I mean, something that we're already worried about when it comes to younger people using the internet. And then what more in a case of a child that could is perhaps more vulnerable, right?
Exactly. I mean, that's devastating because, like you said, the whole point of Artcraft was to be able to build a safe online playground. It's just, it almost seems like there's no safe space for kids to grow up today. And I can't help but mention, you know, this is something that we are going to be talking about tomorrow at our BFM Health and Living Junior, you know, growing up today, the kind of dangers you face, how to navigate those dangers, how to make it fun and safe for your child to grow up, you know, not a neurotic, kind of slightly crazy child.
And I suppose also, you know, for parents to, what sort of skills they should be equipping themselves with.
So
I'd actually also recommend that all parents go to the Artcraft site to read the pinned post about the safety warning. You know, it's heartbreaking and it underlines the challenge of navigating the online world, even if your goal is as altruistic as wanting to help children with autism.
So if you have thoughts on this or on our first story, which was about helicopter parenting, you can continue to tweet us at BFM Radio. You can also WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899.
I'm afraid that's all the time we have today. If you missed any part of the show, you can download the podcast at bfm.my/thedailydigest, or you can also download that on the BFM app or on Spotify. This has been The Daily Digest on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.